listener production. Unlike a triple shot, half sweet, almond milk, cold press, caramel macchiato to go, these boys are not complicated. But they are to go. It's Matt and Alex all day breakfast.
Oh, man. I've got the most terrible memory, Daiso, of like, because I said I was not going to have a big one at our 1,000th ep party.
You promised live on air you weren't going to have a big one at our Matt and Alex 1,000th episode of All Day Breakfast live at Comedy Republic party.
And by all accounts, I fulfilled that. Like, it wasn't like the most massivest one ever. I think we were at home before midnight, which is pretty reasonable.
We left before midnight. I think we might have got home just after midnight.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
anyways, my place where you were staying.
Yeah, so I was staying. And then, you know, I went to sleep. Then my next memory, I wake up and I'm sitting on your toilet. And the door is wide open. I was like, How long have I been here for?
Thank goodness I didn't need to go out and get a midnight snack.
I know. It would have been, I tell you what, it wouldn't have been, it would have been bad. I had done some business.
No, mate.
I was like, what the hell? Why have I got the door open I didn't even do this at my house. What's going on?
You know what time it was?
I don't know. It was middle of the night. And then I was like, I've just spent the last two nights going like, oh God, I hope you didn't just like wake up in the middle of the night and walk past the door and be like, what are you doing?
All right. Well, no, fortunately I didn't see that. I did. Okay, I could hear the door close at about 7 a.m. in the morning, the next morning when you left.
Scooting.
It could have been because we were quite festive, you know. Mm. I think at one point you were starting to call it, and then producer M, who used to do our social media, and who defeated you in a beer sculling contest about 3 years ago in this very same room, got called up because she was about to leave, I think. And so we're like, oh, we've got to have a skull off before you go.
Yeah.
And so Matt O'Kine and M sculled a beer. And when I say that, M sculled a beer. Matt O'Kine was having a casual Sunday sip by the speed at which he was going.
I can't do that open up my throat thing and just toss it down. All right? It's too fizzy. The beverage is too fizzy.
Well, Em did nail you. And big thanks to Em for coming along as well. Alongside Zoe, we didn't thank them on stage, but Zoe as well, do our social media, the 1,000th show. Link and Marshy doing our editing as well. It was a very good time. If you haven't listened to it, please go and check it out because today we're also talking to one of the stars of the evening who provided us with a midnight snack. It was Min, the debut comedian. He's going to be jumping on the phone later. We're going to be debriefing on a little bit of a wild weekend in Melbourne with a few vroom cars. And we got producer Bron in for some clickfish.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun Monday. Let's jump right in. Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Hope you're having a good one.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Well, big weekend of motorsport in Melbourne, Matt O'Kine, with the Grand Prix taking place again. Finally, a different race other than just a Verstappen dominance. But apart from the result, Matt, did you see a bit of the controversy around the Williams team?
Venus and Serena?
No.
Are they driving, now?
You know, I'm sure. Well, this is quite interesting because I was going to talk about sibling rivalry, and I'm sure the Williams sisters, who competed at the top of the sport for many, many years, would have had some interesting rivalries. But what about, like, did you ever, growing up with your older sister, was there ever, like, did you ever sniff favoritism at any point? Did you ever think to, like, your dad, this is totally unfair?
Oh, well, my sister, okay, so Dad was living in Brisbane. Me and Rachel are both living in, you know, Sydney or overseas. And Rachel comes home to Brisbane. Oh, I'll pick you up from the airport. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I'll pick you up from the airport. What time's your flight?
As in your dad saying to your sister, when do you land? I'll be there in the car.
Oh, I'll make sure the red carpet's rolled out for you from the, you know, from the gate.
I'm sorry,
as soon
the palm
as you
frond was too small last time and didn't blow enough cool air onto your face.
I say, hey, Dad, I'm going to be in Brisbane soon. I'll pick you up from the train station. Oh, thanks, Dad. Every single time.
So we did the full airport run for Rachel and poor old Matt O'Connor.
And I got the Indooroopilly train station.
What? How far was that from his house?
Oh, 5-minute drive. Hey, call us when you're passing Milton. I mean, come on.
Well, Alex Albon in the Williams racing team is the Rachel O'Kine of Formula One because he was racing around the place as he does. His teammate Logan Sargeant, who's the only American in Formula One, also going for a race. But Alex Albon crashes his car quite badly, all right, messes it up.
Okay.
Now, unfortunately, Williams is a little strapped for cash, you know, cost of living and all that. They don't have a third car. All the other teams have a third car in these instances. Williams, they didn't bring one over to Australia.
So wait. If a car crashes, they just don't have another car. They don't
have a replacement. Usually they do. There's a whole explanation. They came out to the media and said, look, there's not a third chassis, okay? This one's destroyed. We don't have a third because of, you know, we're chasing our tails. We're trying to be more efficient. The new head of Williams came out and said they were keeping track of all our car parts in Microsoft Excel. And I came in here and it was an absolute nightmare to find anything in this.
Do you know what? This sounds like they're sourcing parts like the Jamaican bobsled team in Cool Runnings.
It really is. If Williams had won on the weekend, it'd be a film, a very award-winning film. But anyway, Albon wrote his car off. They didn't have a third one. So the team made the decision, because he wins more often, that Logan Sargeant will have to sit out the race, and they'll just say, all right, Alex Albon, you can drive Logan's car. Even though Logan, he didn't mess his car up. And they just said, oh, soz, mate, you'll just have to just step out there. He's
going to
drive around.
Was he angry? Has there been any footage? Because you see these guys, that, you know, they're always throwing their helmet off, you know, swinging at people who have driven in their way. Was there any of that business?
I wish there was. Because it was just a little bit more sadder, where everyone's like, oh, I understand it from a team perspective. And then the head of Williams is like, oh, it's going to take a long time for him to emotionally recover from this and build his confidence back up.
As if he's ever going to trust them again.
And then they're like, yeah, Alex Albon's a nice guy. He's feeling guilty that he's getting into the car and driving it around. And we've put him in this position by not having a third car. So it was just an absolute mess.
Oh, man, I would have gone, you know what I would have done? You know, you're in the country, you're in Melbourne.
Yep.
They say, sorry, we're going to take your car. You're right. No worries. Straight to Chin Chin. All right. Absolute monster lunch on the company card. Thank you.
Oh, you'll be getting
away with a lot. I'm doing the hop hop. I'm going super normal. I'm doing the whole, I'm doing the driving around here. Don't worry about that. I'm doing the grand tour.
So anyway.
Oh, rooftop cocktails, all of it.
Well, hopefully Logan Sargeant had a good time, regardless of someone else stealing his drive. But other than that, let's move on with the show, shall we?
Oops.
Well, it's good to be back in the studio after a massive 1,000th show live at Comedy Republic. We're still vacuuming up the sprinkles out of our bar, because those of you who came along did partake in a few fairy shots. Tell you what, Matt, it was good biting that buttered bread, wasn't it?
Oh, I've still got the taste in my mouth. And actually, I posted something on my Instagram, a couple of people saying, this looks yum. I'm going to do the old home version. So hope you're enjoying that too, wherever you are.
Yeah, it was funny because we went in there and we hadn't really decided how much it was going to cost. And at the end, I'm like, just make it $10. And they're like, really? Like, yeah, it's $10. And so Bron came in and was like, that's a pretty good deal. And Luke, our budget, is like, yeah, they're priced to sell. So I think we did get a few out the door, which was good.
But no, thank you to everyone who joined us. In particular, someone who I dare say this time last week had absolutely no knowledge of the fact that they would be joining us.
And had absolutely no knowledge of Matt O'Kine and Alex Dyson. Let's be fair.
Guess what? We can now lay claim to the gatekeepers of their career, I'd say. The people who unlocked the doors and allowed them to take forth, to fly into what has always been known as a very lucrative and supportive career. That's right, the entertainment industry. They can thank us for all the highs and the lows. They performed their very first set. Arguably 90 seconds to 2 minutes long on the stage at Comedy Republic. It is the person who sent their CV in with a picture of Cristiano Ronaldo.
All right. You're like Min on stage. You're going it on a little bit long there, Matt.
That's right.
From our thousandth episode. Hello, Min.
Yeah, hello, man.
Bro, how you feeling? You're still on cloud nine after performing to a sold-out crowd? Your first stand-up set ever?
Yeah, I feel really great. I did good, right?
Yeah, well, did you listen back to it?
Yeah, I have listened back to it, and I think people love it. I think I did good.
Yeah, what joke of yours do you think got the biggest laugh in the room?
Oh, I think that's the fact when I mentioned racism was the part that's the most funniest.
And what joke do you think bombed the hardest? What joke do you think you might have to work on the most?
To be honest, the part that I think that people laugh the hardest is actually the part that people didn't laugh as hard as I expected. But the part that I didn't expect to get that much laugh out of get more than I expected. So it's really different when I prepare as when I on stage. Yeah.
Oh, Min, you are talking my language, man. That is just the life of stand-up comedy. What you think's going to be gold is just a lump of dirt.
Mm.
And some old crap that you pull out in the last minute suddenly sparkles. So you've done very well. Now, Min, do you feel like we got you off stage too early?
If you do not get me off stage, I think I'll stand there for hours. So
you're saying we were right to take you off, otherwise we would have been in that room for a couple of hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's incredible. Well, you did go in for a bit longer than normal, and to credit to you, it's because you were working the crowd really hard. I think we originally said about 90 seconds of stand-up would be good for you. You spent the first 90 seconds probably high-fiving the audience in your suit. They were loving the outfit. Bron had the stopwatch on it. You were on stage for a total of 14 minutes. How do you feel about that?
14 minutes? Wow. It was much longer than I thought. Mm. Yeah, so one thing I learned is that I have to add up the time waiting for people to laugh in order to tell my next jokes too. So,
Totally.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for people to laugh. If they laugh, good. If they don't wait. Just keep trucking on. That's the way to do it.
And here's for anyone who missed it, you can listen to the full set on Friday, but let's have a little bit of a tiny little reminder of Min's set.
My name is Min. Something about me. I was born at a very young age.
That was my favorite one, Min, saying I was born at a very young age. I mean, that's genius, man. That is some solid gold, we call that in the biz.
Yeah, I know that. That is like my ultimate move. I know people like that.
His ultimate move.
That's the pigeon out of the sleeve, absolutely. Whipping that rabbit out of the hat.
But
Min,
the big thing I wanted to know, Min, is your parents back in Hanoi, Vietnam, had no idea that you are an Australian superstar now. Have you been able to tell them over the weekend what you got up to?
Yeah, I actually do tell it to mom and dad. So that's kind of like, stop with this bullshit. You have to focus on your work, your study. But my mom kind of likes it. So mom kind of likes it, and she's really looking forward to see the video of my performance. And she keeps spamming my message of, "Have you got the video yet?"
Okay. Well, it'll be coming out very, very soon, Min. Yeah. We're fiercely editing the footage to make sure everyone can see it, particularly your mum. But look, thank you very much for performing at such short notice. Thanks for sending us your CV. Sorry we thought you were a scammer to start with, but all's well that ends well.
Thanks, Min. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Click fish with producer Bron.
Yes, in to look through the awful articles that none of us wanted to touch over the weekend is producer Bron. G'day, Bron.
Hello.
And actually, there was lots of good fun laughs had in our 1,000th show, but I think the best joke was not said by Min. It wasn't even said by Matt or myself. It was producer Bron who had the best joke of the entire night.
What did
not
I
even
say?
On stage. Well,
I can't even remember.
Min did this joke. It didn't go all that well. It didn't quite nail the landing on it, but the letters B-R-O-N in your name are somewhat similar, 75% similar to the letters of P-O-R-N being porn. And I think Min tried to use those letters in some way to make a bit of a game. Didn't go down all that well. I did hear someone at the back of the room said, someone behind them goes, "Oh, careful!"
When that happened. As soon as he brought Bron up, careful,
careful. That's our girl.
Don't touch our queen yet. But, don't.
After stage, like we chatted to Bron, see how that went. And Bron goes, "Oh my god, I got a mention." Which is what is now said if Min mentions you or anyone in their set. So good on you, Bron. You got a full mention.
Loved it.
How was the aftermath of the party for you and you know, the weekend? How's everything been? Anything exciting?
It's been good. Caught up with some friends for dinner. We made these Maltese Easter biscuits yesterday. That was fun.
Okay. Hit us with the main ingredient quickly.
Is that where Maltesers come from? Are they originally Maltese?
I don't know if they are. I don't think so.
Interesting.
They should be.
I think Maltesers are actually just because they're multi.
Mm.
They're malt balls. You're talking about Maltese Figoli biscuits?
Yes, Figoli. Very nice.
Orange blossom water. Did you use that?
You did use a bit of orange zest.
Okay.
The blossom water got in there.
Blossom water's the thing. I've never heard of it. all right. Well, look, what have you been clicking while you've been nibbling the bisque?
Bron, you been on the Kate Middleton stuff?
What I don't understand is why the palace, if she's going through cancer treatments and all that, obviously very awful stuff, why would they blame her for the editing fail, which she clearly didn't do? They need to bring the crown back again. Imagine this.
Well, Bron, how about we look at a few of the other articles that have been floating around this week? What did you end up clicking on?
So this was sent in by Trisha to the Matt and Alex Instagram page.
Which you should do, Trisha, when you don't want to, you know, get that algorithm pollution in your own. You just send it over to Bron. Let her take the fall for you.
Definitely. The headline, Aaron Taylor-Johnson has reportedly not been offered the role of James Bond yet. That's from Vanity Fair. So at the time of recording, the news is there is no news. He hasn't been offered anything. We don't know what's going on.
That is a really funny article to write of just everyone click on this because this isn't happening.
Well, not yet.
Nothing is happening.
So, I mean, I guess this is off the back of rumours that the speculation has been growing and Aaron Taylor-Johnson, 33-year-old, actor from the UK, best known from his work in the Marvel Universe.
No, movies. No. Best known for Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging. I swear.
Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging. That's a movie from 2008.
It's the best movie. I watch it yearly. Once a year, it gets a run.
Perfect Snogging.
It's like a UK teen movie. Oh.
It's a great name. Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging. Okay.
It's so good.
Angus,
it holds up.
Comma. Thongs,
no,
comma.
No.
Yes, Angus, comma, thongs and perfect snogging. Yes, that's right.
There's no Oxford comma in there.
It's not Angus Thongs. The person's name is not Angus Thongs.
Okay.
Bron, did you think the person's name was Angus Thongs?
I honestly never understood the title because Angus, I think, is her cat.
Right. Okay, so it's a coming-of-age story. Anyways, don't they call thongs G-strings? Isn't that what G-strings are?
Is that what they're talking about it in that movie title?
I think it is. It's all about these teen girls. So this guy is like the main character, the girl who's married now in real life to Ron Weasley. Oh.
The actor who plays Ron. Yes. Rupert Grint.
Rupert Grint. She's married to him. She falls in love with this guy. They call him a sex god. It's all very teenage UK vibes, but it's so good. She dresses up as an olive at one point. It's all gold.
This has turned into a very productive clickfish because now I don't need to click on that article and now I also don't need to watch the film.
No, you do.
Because
Bron
has explained it very, very well.
No, you got to watch it.
All right, Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging.
I think that's the name of the book.
The book is called Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging. There's also another book called It's Okay, I'm Wearing Really Big Knickers. And they were both used to create the movie Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging.
Were they by the same author?
So, Louise Renison, yes.
Wow.
It's kind of like a Bridget Jones's Diary for teenagers, I would say.
Okay. Mm, all right. Well, I'm actually quite intrigued now. I want to check this out.
No. Don't check it out. Watch Christmas Ransom on Stan.
Oh, yes,
if you're
of
looking
course.
For a nice, fun family film with which to get about. Plenty of laughs to be had in there as well.
Oh, it's a wholesome experience. But look, it's a long way for Christmas, even though Bron delivers us presents daily with her presents. Thank you very much for clicking dem clicks for us.
Thank you.
The name's Bron, producer Bron. That's what you should have said.
Damn it. Yeah.
Damn. I've been also kind of working on a joke that I want to tell people about, like, I'm producing and reproducing at the same time.
Oh, with your baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to word it properly. We'll work on that later. After.
We should call you Reproducer Bron.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. We've got
big fish with Reproducer Bron.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Bron. It's always a pleasure. We'll catch you very soon, and we'll catch you tomorrow, because we're back here, same time, same place. Until then, get in touch at matt.m.alex, because we love to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.m.alex.